Hello and welcome back to the BTL with Rib T, the Better Through Letter, the show where we talk how to make ourselves better through using the Ramban's letter, talking the introduction and talking the letter itself and a lot of different lessons. We're up to lesson 14, using the letter for the ages from the Art School series with the wonderful insight and commentary of Rabbi Avram Chaim Feuer. V'ata, now the lesson 14 phrase, Benida or Eke Hamiska Ebelibo Al Habrios, Moreid Hu B'malchus Shamayim, Ki Mispar Hu B'Lev. Vush Malchus Shemayim, Shenemar, Hashem Malach, Geuz Lavesh, etc. And now my son, Ramban's talking to his son, understanding clearly that one who is prideful in his heart toward other men rebels against the sovereignty of heaven, for he glorifies himself in God's own robes, for it is written, Hashem reigns, he dons the raiment of grandeur that comes from Tehillim. The Rabbi of Kamarno, in his work Notes for Chesed, observes that the proud person, insofar as he venerates himself, defies Hashem by quote-unquote worshipping himself. A person who puts himself on a pedestal and thinks about himself as arrogant about himself, he's only worshiping himself, and that's the wrong thing to do. The Rambam points out the two traits of arrogance and anger are the two things to completely avoid. Go to the opposite direction as much as possible, even though everything else is supposed to be the middle path. Talmud Avodah Zarah points out that Avram Avinu had a huge tractate concerning the prohibition against idol worship. It had 400 chapters, but it didn't talk about alien deities or pagan deities, but it talked about the true source of idolatry, which is man's arrogance and pride. Mesir Shasharm also examines many forms of arrogance. This person takes himself seriously. He thinks he's worthy of recognition and praise. Many causes of these feelings, some think that they're intelligent, some handsome, some distinguished, really supposed to run away from honor, run away from kavod, and it'll follow you. Technically, it'll come when you need to come. Hashem will give it to you if you need it. And the person that runs after honor, runs after kavod, that's the one who runs away from him. You think about the examples of those who thought they were intelligent and handsome and distinguished, like David HaMelech's children in Tanakh, Adoniyahu and Avshalom. They would ride and they would let out their hair and they would blow the shofars and everything, trying to get the attention for themselves, trying to get the honor for themselves. Other people might see themselves as great or wise, and they conduct themselves in different ways to gain recognition. One type of person talks in different mannerisms to try to impress others, and walks in a way, and sits in a way, and feels like he could only speak with people of distinction, only people talk with people of eminence, and he talks in a fashion just to get wonder. He does all of these things with pompousness, as if his flesh were lead and his bones stone or earth. Another type of proud person seeks to demonstrate superiority by becoming a terror, agitates people, speaking insolently, tries to drive people into frenzies with his biting retorts. Another type of pride can be the man who thinks that he is so invested with honor that honor is inseparable from him. To impress this upon others, he imitates the conduct of the most humble men, while in truth his heart bursts with pride. There are other types of pride which lay smoldering in the hearts of men. Concerning all forms of pride, it is written in Mishlei, the proud of heart are the abomination of Hashem. The one major aspect, the one major trait, the one major thing that was said about Moshe and his praise was that he was the most humble of all men. They could have said anything about Moshe. The end of the Torah, it says, Eved Hashem. Moshe was the Eved Hashem. He could have said a million things. He led millions of Jews. He took care of so many decisions and bringing down Mun for them and all the Makos, taking them out of Mitzrayim with the help of Hashem. But the main thing it said was Eved Hashem. And the one main trait besides that, it says in the Torah that he was the most humble of all men, because that is one of the best traits to try to get. That's the main thing to do, is to be as humble as possible, because those that are proud are the abomination of Hashem, as pointed out by Mishlei. It's especially important for those in the public eye to eradicate feelings of lordship. Shulchan Aruch points out an Orach Chaim and an admonition to the cantor who leads the congregation in prayer. He should stand before Hashem in a solemn and reverent spirit, filled with trepidation and fear. If his purpose is to show his beautiful voice and his heart rejoices in his cantorial skills, this is repulsive. Mishnah Berurah comments and points out, Sefer Chasin records that when Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was taken out to be killed by the Romans, he turned to Rabbi Yishmael the high priest and asked, "My dear brother, how have I sinned that I should merit such a terrible death?" Rabbi Shimon replied, "Search your heart. Perhaps When you spoke publicly, at times you felt some pride in your heart, and thus you used words of Torah for your own delight. To this, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel responds, Nichamti, you have consoled me for my death. So it's always important to remember and keep in mind that even when we do things, even when we use talents, even when we use abilities or capabilities or unique qualities that Hashem gives us, we should only use it for the good, not to feel arrogant and not to feel superior or lofty because of them, but to realize that we're given a mission, a gift to use them for the Torah, to use it for mitzvahs, to use it for chesed, to use it to bring more kiddushim shemayim in the world, to use it to make more tikkun olam. If you have a gift, you have a quality, use it for a good reason, for a good purpose. Don't use it to lord yourself over others. Don't use it to make yourself feel like you're better than anyone else. When Rav Moshe Feinstein underwent difficult surgery to correct his pacemaker, he tried to discover the sin that had caused his suffering. He was sure that his pain must be a punishment for having hurt someone else's feelings, but he could not recall having done so. He reviewed in his mind all the years of his life until he came to his childhood days. There he found the source of his affliction. As a young cheder child, he and a classmate had both offered an answer to their Rebbe's question. Rav Moshe recalled feeling a sense of pride when the Rebbe found his reasoning superior to that of his friend. While he had not actually done his friend any harm, still he felt it was wrong for him to feel uplifted by an incident that had embarrassed someone else. Rav Moshe viewed his mistake as an indirect form of malbim pnei chavero, shaming one's friend for which the surgery he was to undergo was a proper punishment. I know the Gemara talks about different examples of different cases of how bad Malbim Pnei Chavero is. As a side point, it's better to jump into a burning fire, a fiery furnace, than to embarrass someone in public. How do we know this? The Gemara talks about how Yehuda and Tamar, when the whole incident happened, why did Tamar send all those things, the signet and the staff and the sheep, to have Yehuda send it to her? Because at the end of the time, when it was time to decide what happened, she said to this, to the person who this belonged, this is who this happened by. And Yehuda was looking for everything, and she literally was being brought to the fire furnace until she was saved by Yehuda, because she realized and understood that it's better to be thrown into the fire than to embarrass someone. So she sent the idea, she sent the signs to hopefully be saved, because the Gemara also says that even if the sword is at your neck, you should never despair of hope, never despair of having Hashem save you, but she didn't want to embarrass him publicly. Also, the Gemara talks about Mar Okva and his wife for charity collectors, and a poor person that they would give to every day was so burning with desire to know who was giving him this tzedakah, who was giving him this money, and he tried to find every day, could never find them. But one day Mar Okva and his wife were running late to give the collections to tzedakah, and they ended up going at a certain time that the poor person could actually see who they were. When Mar Okva and his wife realized that the poor person almost figured out who they were, because the highest level of tzedakah is anonymous, when you don't know who's giving, and the person who's getting doesn't know who's giving, and you don't know who you're giving to after giving someone a job, that's the highest level. So he realized the poor person was following them, and Mar Okva and his wife didn't know where they could hide. All they could see was a burning fiery furnace, and they knew better to jump into the furnace than to embarrass someone. And what they did was they went into the furnace. Mar Okva and his wife were unharmed, but his feet were singed and not his wife. And he asked her why, and she explained because he would take a little longer getting things together, giving the money or taking care of the poor people, and she would do it much faster, so she was saved. So what we can learn from today from all these different things is we should remove the pride, we should remove the arrogance, we should be as humble as possible and try not to embarrass people in any way, especially not in public, but even in private, and to avoid it at all costs. Join us next time as we talk the next lesson, lesson 15, here on the BTL with Reb T. And I'm your host, Reb T.